Okay. Okay, so now we're up to Lamed Gimel. We're up to Pasuk. Okay. Pasuk Gal. Ki Yashor Devar Hashem. After Pasuk Gal. Ki Yashor Devar Hashem. Page 284. I didn't put this on here. What happened to our people in the virtual world? There's no one here anyway. Okay. Shir lo shir chadash kinnig. 284 pasuk gimel. Shir lo sing to Hashem.
Recording in progress.
A shir chadash. Heitivu nagein. No, that was pasuk gimel. Heitivu nagein b'shua. Pasuk dalid. Ki yashar dvar Hashem v'chol ma'asehu be'emuna. The dvar Hashem is yashar, and all of his deeds are be'emuna. So this is a very interesting pasuk, because this reveals, at least according to one interpretation, the difference between the word yashar, what the word yashar is. The yashar over here relates to the word dvar. Let us see the mitzudos daven and pasuk dalit. Very short. Oh, you don't say the dvar. You don't say the dvar.
You say the Hashem himself is yashar.
And therefore it's fitting to praise Hashem. Okay, there is no other Rashi. Let's go to the next pasuk.
Okay, we said it yesterday. It's going up because it mentions, you know, chosid after tzaddik.
So Yashar is the highest level.
That's
very interesting. Many different categories of Jews. From davening. Beautiful. You have to have in the cemetery all different madregas. We're eligible. Let's go over here. Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Hey, Oyev Tzedak Mishpat, Hashem loves Tzedak Mishpat, Chesed Hashem Mole Oharis. The Chesed of Hashem fills the entire earth. Pasuk Hey in the Mitzudas David Mol Haritz, Oyse Chesed Im Kol Haberias. According to the Mitzudas, this means that Hashem does Chesed with every living creature. This is an important concept, because one may argue that being that man is the purpose of creation, so maybe it is only with man does Hashem do chesed. Or maybe you can argue there are certain parts of the Berea that Hashem does, it's pure science. There's no chesed. This pasuk over here, David's insight into the world is, and the way the Mitzudos interprets, is that every single item in this world, regardless of their level of intelligence and their place in this in the hierarchy, is a recipient of Hashem's chesed in a way that relates to that specific item. Every single thing. Okay, next. Olam chesed yibon. Excellent. The world was created. Hashem's goal was to do chesed. The purpose of creation. This is what we believe in. This is our emuna from the Ramchal. Ramchal says, what is the purpose of all this? Why did Hashem create this world? What's the purpose? The purpose, Hashem created the world to give him the opportunity to do chesed. We don't see that. We see, unfortunately, a lot of pain and suffering. We don't realize that all of this pain and suffering is a necessary prerequisite to receive the ultimate tainug enjoyment. And thus, every step of the way is all a chesed of Hashem. A person is going into surgery and he sees a doctor and he looks up and a doctor has a scalpel and injects him with incredible things that are incredibly painful and does horrible things. He doesn't realize that if the doctor does not do these things, then he's going to die shortly. And by the doctor going and causing him tsar, but ultimately what it does is it brings to the person it brings the person years of life. So these are things which are chesed. Let's go further. Pasuk Vav. Now we go into some of the things which really relate to the reason why we recite this Mizmor on Shabbos. We're now going into creation. B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Naasu. The word of Hashem, the heavens were created, Naasu. They were done. Pasuk Tes. I got to skip the page. Uvruach Piv called some Ruach, the breath of his piv of his mouth, all of their hosts. Pasuk Zayin. Koines Kaneid Mehayam. Hashem, he collects like into a pitcher. Kaneid means the chaf of the chaf. Here is a difficult chaf. We have to see if it's part of the shoresh, not part of the shoresh. Kaneid, there are different translations for the word neid. Neid simply means, you look over here in the Mitzudos Tzion on page 287, in the very, very bottom left. Kaneid, kadavar hatzavur. Neid is something that is collect. Kamo kamu neid echad. So immediately he says what I assumed is that the chaf is not part of the shoresh. It's now if it's not part of the shoresh, we have a problem because then it should be kineid. Kaneid, a patach, is a little bit uncomfortable in this context because if you Hashem gathers the water the same way you gather water into a pitcher, a neid is a pitcher, and a pitcher collects, stores liquid. It is a container. This world, Hashem made cavities in this world where all of the waters of the seas are collected so that they do not overflow and destroy the world. So that is the case. So you should say koines kineid. He collects water. What's the kaneid? And that is what we're going to see, that some mafarshim have a different interpretation where the word neid, the chaf, is part of the sharish. But for the moment, let's just read what is over here in the Mitzudos.
For example, you have chaf u sahamakus. No.
Chaf means congealed with a kuf. Right.
Yeah. The word neid. Chaf u kamo neid those limbs.
Kimo, like kimo neid. So here it doesn't say kimo, it says ka. Nay. Okay, let's see. We'll come across in a moment. Let's see over here first, one thing at a time. The Mizuzah stuff it says, Koines Kaneid Mehayam, Nosen Be'ot Sarois Tehamois Hashem puts in his storage centers.
What are
they
doing now?
Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin. Koines Kaneid Mehayam. Hashem collects water, like as if you would collect liquid into a container. What does Hashem collect? The Mehayam. And then we have poetic repetition. Noisein be'oitzarois, he deposits in his storage facilities tehoimois, the depths, the waters of the depths. Pasiches, yi re'u me Hashem, you have to pronounce the resh as a shvonot, there are two yuds. So it will be, if you would say yiru, that would mean to see. When there's a shvonot, then it's yi re'u, fear. This is a command. Yiru me Hashem kol aretz. There is a command, may the entire inhabitants of the earth fear Hashem. Mimenu, from him, Yoguru kol yoshvei sevel. Now we change tenses. We go from, instead of being a command, it is a statement that they are afraid from him, all of the inhabitants of the sevel of the earth. With tevel, we have many times, it's like Lashon of a mixture, all the different items in this world which interact with one another. We read a lot of words. Let's just see the mitzvahs of the farshim. The mitzvahs, going back, finishing the mitzvahs of the page 287, on the very bottom, just a few words. Tzivaam heim hamalachim v'hagagalim. So that's an interesting interpretation that he learns uvaruch, with the breath of his piv he created all tzivaam, the angels. V'hagagalim. What are the galgalim? I guess that means the stars. Okay, he wants to include in the word Tzivaam, the angels, the Galgalim. I don't know, maybe the word Galgalim and angels. I don't know.
Planets.
Oh, so that's what you were thinking means, right? That's what you were thinking, the host. You think it means the planets, but that's not what he says. The Malachim and the Galgalim. What are Galgalim? Let's see. Pasuk Zayin Koines. Oisev Mehayam Oikionus. The Atlantic.
Gal is often a wave.
It's a wave. So we're here referring to, you want to say that it refers to the earth? The Galgalim means the waves of the earth? I don't know. The Tzivaam. Tzivam, we usually translate the word Tzivam reference to the heavenly bodies. The heavenly bodies, or we refer to the word Tzivais, referring to the Malachi Asharis. And sometimes, the word Tzivais is a reference to Hashem. It's Kodesh. It refers to Hashem Tzivakos. It's one of Hashem's names. So here, in this context, it seems that it's not Hashem's name, and it definitely refers, according to the, at least the Mitzvahs, given these one of many interpretations, Kol Tzivaam. When I say this on Shabbos, whenever I'm zoicha to actually concentrate what I'm saying, I always thought this meant Kol Tzivaam means all of the stars, the heavenly bodies. But that's not what the Mitzvah stuff is. As he says, it refers over here to the Malachim, and the Hagagalim. The Galgalim, we know there are angels called the Galgalim. We learn Sefer Yecheskel, there are things called, and there are angels. There are a specific group of angels called the Galgalim. There are many types of angels. They're the Chayas HaKodesh, there are the Galgalim, there are the Oifanim, there are the Seraphim. Okay, there are all different types, the whole hierarchy in Shemaim of the angels. Here, I'm not sure what this means, but let's do it for now. Next pasuk. Vayichulu hashem haaretz, haaretz v'chol tzivam. So what does it mean v'chol tzivam? So we simply means the heavenly bodies, v'chol tzivam. So over here, the Mitzvah David is going out on a limb and saying that over here in this context it refers to the angels. Why? I guess because since it says uveruach piv, with ruach, in contrast to the dibur by Hashem is mice. Dibur is more physical. Dibur and ruach piv are both not physical, but dibur has more sophistication, because dibur represents a sophisticated use of wind that comes through a person's mouth. Ruach piv is seemingly less sophisticated than dibur. So what are we referring to? When it says the word dibur, refers to the Shemaim. When it says the word ruach piv, he says it refers to the tzivam. What are the tzivam? Okay, we have different interpretations. Let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk in Zayin in the Mitzvah of David. Koines oisef yivei yom akyonus lihiyois kmo neid v'tzibur govoa min haaretz v'loy tered lamata kederech hamayim. And this is something very, very interesting what he says. Because neid, as other farshim are going to say, the word neid is a mound. In other contexts, the word neid means mound. Okay. Wake up this morning. Are you very thirsty? Wake up this morning? Dehydrated from yesterday? After a fast day in the summer, somehow, in the day after the fast, very, very thirsty. Okay, so what is a neid? A neid simply refers to a mound. A mound. And it also refers to a container. And a container, think about it, is really a mound. A container is something you put on the table, it's high, it's tall, and it collects the liquid that is inside. So the word neid does not appear to be the word you would expect to use to refer to the Atlantic. The Atlantic is not tall. From our perspective, just the opposite. The Atlantic is a big pit. It's a big, massive pit. And that's why the waters of the Atlantic do not come and flood the world, because they are lower. Water goes to the lowest level. If the Atlantic would have been high, then the United States would be the Atlantic. And the land mass of the Atlantic would be land. So what does it mean? So he's saying something very, very fascinating. And he's saying, some of Farsh was saying this, is that we got it wrong. We really got it wrong. That from Hashem's perspective, we got the science wrong. I don't know if that's what it means. Or in the world of spirituality, we look at it differently. I don't know which way to look at it, but the Atlantic, the bodies of water in this world, are to be viewed as mountains. Mountains of water going upwards. But that defies the laws of science and gravity. So it's not the first time that we do this. You have to look at things in a different perspective, a different focus. Hashem created the world. Hashem told the world, or maybe you have to look at it from this point of view, with the Maamar Chazal, I think he brings over here, Hashem made the world, Hashem commanded. He specifically commanded the Atlantic, do not flood the world. I am collecting you. During the time of my Sibarishis, it says the water covered the entire world. And then later on Hashem said, Yikovu Hamayim El Mokoy Mechod V'sei Ro'eh Hayabosho. At the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis, the entire globe was one massive swimming pool. That's what it seems to say. That's what the pasuk on a very simple level indicates. The whole world was one massive body of water. And Hashem gave a command. Yikovu, the water should be gathered into one location so that v'sei ro'eh hayabosha. Yeah, some rules. So the question over here is, I don't understand, what does that mean exactly? What happened? Scientifically, what happened? Hashem gave a command, the water should be gathered into one location so that dry land shall appear. How does that happen? We would expect Hashem, if you were a scientist, you would say that Hashem commanded the earth. Earth, I want you to dig a hole. I want in the location today where we have the Atlantic, the Pacific, I want you to go and create for yourself a massive cavity. So automatically, the water of the world will rush into that cavity, and the highest piece of earth, the earth that stands tall, will mamela be dry land. Survival of the fittest. You have a globe of water, you drop a nuke somewhere in the world, it creates a massive, massive cavity, and according to the laws of science, there's only that much water in the world. The amount of water in the world is limited. Okay, there's a water cycle. It's an amazing thing, according to the opinion of the Gemara that says that all the water in this world, it's amazing, there's no more water. Water, there are two opinions in the Gemara. Where does water come from? According to one opinion, Hashem created water on this world. And the amount of water in this world, it's all we got. It's not, there's nothing more. And it continuously is recycled, continuously. Water evaporates, it goes to the clouds and comes back down, it's cleansed, it's purified. Not one iota of water disappears. Turns into mist and is recycled, there's a water cycle. There is a finite amount, volume of liquid of water in this world that cannot possibly be changed. And who put all that water here? Hashem decided, measured exactly how much water this earth will have. And is continuously recycled. The other opinion of the Gemara says it's not so. It's not so. There is such a thing as fresh water. Fresh water is added to this world. Where does it come from? From heaven. Obviously, these are very deep, complicated concepts. Whether you want to learn that this is something which is within the world of science, or it's only meant to refer to something more spiritual, abstract, I have no idea. These are very deep concepts. But the Gemara presents two opinions: if the amount of water in this world is finite, or new fresh water can be injected into this world. So let's assume now for the moment that the amount of liquid in this world is finite. Hashem made a world and the water flooded the entire surface of the globe. If you would now want that dry land should appear, you would expect Hashem, Vayomer Hashem El Haaretz. Hashem said to the earth, earth, I want you to dig for yourself a massive, massive crater. I want you to drop on yourself a nuclear bomb. Like one like no one has ever seen before, which will create in the earth a massive, massive crater. And then what will happen? The laws of science will proceed. If you have a massive crater in different sections of the earth, what is going to happen? But naturally, the water is going to flow to the lowest level. And then there's going to be sections of this earth that are going to be above, are going to be dry. Isn't that what you would expect the pasuk to say? Vayomer Elokim, Haaretz, create for yourself a bar, I don't know the exact terminology, and then there would be a place. That's not what happened. Instead, Hashem says, "Ve'yom Elokim yikavu hamayim el makoy mechad v'seireh hayavasha." Hashem did not tell the earth to dig a hole. Hashem said to the mayim, "Gather yourself, limit yourself to one specific location." That's a need. Hashem didn't tell the earth, make a hole and the water will go down. Because Hashem said to the water, "Water, I want you to yikavu, gather, el mokoy mechad, and the male of you will gather as a mound in one location." Then, v'seireh hayabasha. Oh, but that goes against the laws of science. I don't know. But the question is bigger than the answer. Because if you want to follow strict science, Hashem should have said to the, assuming, if it says, follow the rules, follow the science. If in the beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis, everyone agrees without any debate, that the earth was one massive globe of water, and now we need to be mavdil between dry land and a body of water, if you want to follow the science, so the earth has to do something to accommodate the water, so the water will naturally flow into the ground, and that way the survival of the fittest, the highest piece of land will appear dry. Shockingly, the Torah says just the opposite. Oh, scientifically doesn't make any sense. I don't have an answer. But it does explain what it means here in this pasuk. Koines kaneid mecha. A maid is a mountain. It is a pillar. A pillar. Because we're not coming to harm the earth. There's a limud musa here in this pasuk, in this concept. When Hashem does something, there is no collateral damage. And Hashem does not elevate one thing at the expense of damaging something else. In this world, you know, more often than not, kishezekom zenoifel. If you're going to want to elevate the dry land, there is an exception of the Shemesh and the sun and the moon. Let's go to the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon, what is the one? There were two bodies that were the same. Hashnei hama'oyres hagidoyla. Two great luminaries. The sun and the moon. The moon comes and says, Ein shnei melachim mishamshim b'keser echad. So what does Hashem say? You, l'chi memati es atzmich. Diminish yourself. Here we have dry land and we have mayim. They cannot coexist. The mayim is covering the earth. The world cannot. There's the earth, but that's down below. There's water on the surface. You can't. You have to have dry land also. So what does Hashem do? So Hashem doesn't damage the water. Hashem takes the water and he puts the water into a nade, into a container, without damaging the earth. Without
what made a mountain of ice.
That's an interesting idea. You're saying something very, very interesting. You're saying that the way Hashem, Yikavu Hamayim, is he throws the water on the poles of the globe, which would thus diminish the amount of water in this world. And now that allows the ability for dry land to appear. Scientifically, is that true? If everything would melt, all the water, there'd be no pockets of ice. There still be land? Okay, so then you need to come on to something more than that. All right, we're just trying over here to explain this very interesting word of kaneid. Kaneid. Let's go further. Let's see over here. Let's finish with the mitzvahs. So again, pasuk zayin the mitzvahs David. Kaines oisef me yam agyanus li yois kmoi neid vitzibur gavoam in arutz. It is a mound that is higher than the earth. And it should not go down, it should not flood the world. And Chazal actually said this, Hashem told the Mayim, I'm warning you, I'm giving you boundaries. Do not do not overflow the boundaries. Do not, what does that mean? Science. How does all this work? There's something more that we do not know. There's something that needs to be clarified. Next, noisein. Kolo es hatohoimos be'oitzeres Hashem. Now here's the word kolo. Hashem kolo, he destroyed. Isn't that the normal meaning of the word kolo? Es ha, he finished. He finished es hatohoimos be'oitzeres lebal yeitzu l'shtoif ha'aretz. They may not escape to flood the earth. Okay, now let's look at Rashi, the short Rashi of Kaneit.
The fact is that the water are higher than the land. So they should actually
grow. Right, that's exactly what we're saying. It doesn't make sense.
It says, Kones,
limited. But that's the question. Doesn't make sense.
Even though you're higher, you can flow in, no problem.
But Hashem gave him a command. A command is not to flood the earth. There's another dimension in this world that is above science. That's what it seems to say on a very superficial level. Let's see Pasuk Zayin. Kaneid Lashon Gavoah. The word Kaneid is a picture, and he says it's a type, it's something which really represents that is elevated. V'chein teit mungulis nitzvu, it stood kamo neid. That's in Shemos, that's Shir Sayam. That's okay. Nitzvu kamo, you're in two places at the same time. First you were on the screen and you showed up. Amazing. Oh, and nitzvah kamod nei, kamu chishur. Now he quotes another pasuk. You see, here's the problem. This illustrates the problem. What is a shur? Ale shur. A shur is a wall. A wall. And here it says it stood up chishur. When you want a the chaf hadimyoin, usually is a shva. Is a shva.
But you also think it says
shore,
right? I think the girls,
Kamu Ale Shore. Kamu, the girls, they rose up Ale on top of the shore, the wall.
To take a look at it.
So Chish Shore. In the other place, in the Shiras Hayam, it says Chimo. Nitzivu. The water stood erect. Chimo, like a nade. So the Shoresh is Nundam, a nade. Is a mound, and the chaf is thus the chaf hadimyoin. Problem: if it's the chaf hadimyoin, it should have a shva, ch, not ka.
No, here it's a ka because kemo hanet, kemo ha.
So you want to say it's the hey hayidia. It's a chaf hadimyoin with a hey hayidia. Okay.
That's why you have a dagesh in the name. Hey is missing. Kemo hanet.
Kane. It's a hey how you deal with a chaf hadimyay. It's a sophisticated combination. Okay. Kamu cheshur v'chein perish menachem v'ein neid nod shavim. Okay. So he says okay, he's rejecting what I told you before. I told that it means node. Node is a container. Over here Rashi says that the word do not dear confuse the word neid with the word node. Even though there is the very similar, but there's an aleph in between, and you would be inclined to believe the aleph is just like a vowel. It's not part of the show. Therefore, we can say that neid and node are really one and the same, and that would mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu collected all the water in the world into a container, into a pitcher. No, that's not the pshat. It's not a pitcher. Now over here, look at the very top. The top is Sifzei Zekanim. Kaneid, v'chul ve'ein neid v'noh shavim, perish she'ein l'farish l'shem noid, k'mo koneis kiv noid. So Hashem gathers liquid into a container. V'mei she'ein shavim b'nikudois, v'kal l'havim. Because the nikud, it should then be, what do you mean by the node? Over here it says neid.
What he's saying is, if the pasuk here meant like a bottle, it would say kivinod.
Kivinod, would be a cholah.
Kivinod.
Chaf?
Like in a bottle.
Like in a node, which basically is a cholah.
Since it doesn't.
So therefore it's a different word, a mound. It means zero mound. So in other words, nade is a tsere, two dots. A node has a cholah. And that would automatically, as Rabbi Chol is saying, would automatically demand a difference in the prefix. And how we express it. Okay, now, obviously, if Rashi has the rod of his way to say this, There's one thing you can be certain of. There are other Rishonim that disagree. Okay? That is a guarantee. Anytime you have a Rishon that goes and he struggles and has to apologize and say, don't say this, you can bet your bottom box. Because Rashi saw other commentators did just that and is coming to reject. They're wrong. In his opinion, they're wrong. And therefore, when you delve into it, you're going to see there are other Mepharshim that are going to deal with the same exact issues. Okay, now let's see. Let's look at the Radak first. First, a little bit of Radak. Pasik, let's see Pasik. Wait, we're not finished yet. I'm sorry. One more Rashi. No saying the Oitzaros to Hamos. No saying to Hamos the Oitzaros. Ha-ha-sarts. Hashem puts Tehamos, the depths underneath the earth. Okay, so we have over here basically two bodies of water. We have a body of water that is exposed, and that is the oceans, the rivers, and then there is a body of water that is not exposed, that is deep down, a well, a spring, or who says the word Tehamos refers to water? Okay, you go deep down. I don't know. You have to get a geologist. All the different layers of the earth.
Seedbed at the bottom of the sea.
It says
the volume should be Tehomos.
Hashem opened up the Tehomos Rabbah, the Tehomos, excellent. So over here, look at Rashi. Rashi always says Tachas. Tachas means right where we're standing, underneath us, there is something called Tehomos. What are the Tehomos? So we always assume it means water. Maybe it means lava. Maybe it means you have to get geology. What is that? That you go down, go dig down. So sometimes you come upon a spring of water, and then if you dig even further down, you can come to bedrock. And when you come to bedrock, keep on going down, and the down all the way below. There are many different layers until you get to the core of the earth. And whoever said Tehomos refers to water. Maybe Tehomos refers to one of the molten. There's a lot of heat in the earth. The core of the earth is this heat. There's Gehenna down there. It's very hot down there. And there's lava, you have a volcano, whatever. There's a fissure. There's a fissure in the earth where some of the molten material that's deep down comes to a crack. And it can be very violent. Maybe that's the Tehomos. I wanted someone to talk about this. About certain things that we think, we associate, we think what it means, but if you think out of the box, it answers a lot of questions. Some interesting questions. In any event, we have over here, so very fascinating. Where did the Aseres HaShvatim go? This is like science fiction to me, but who knows? You never know. There is somewhere in this world, an underground world, caves.
Definitely sci-fi.
So it sounds like science fiction, which you never know. you want to live in a world of fantasy, conspiracy theories, anything is possible. In any event, we go over here to there's something over here called Tehomos. There's mind that is exposed, and still there's mind that it is not exposed, that it gets it's a pe'er. It's a fountain, it's a spring that is tachas haaretz, and we need to access it by digging down. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Zayin on the previous, we're limited in time, and we have to move forward. So let's go to, let's be very selective. Let's go to, we did already the Yashar, we spent time on that. It's very technical. So let's go to, this is interesting, let's go to this part, the Radak Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin is Koines on page 287. Koines kaneid me hayom ba'od mechasti hakel al biruyof. Let's discuss about the kindness. Shehikve hamayim me alpin aritz v'kinsam v'kipsam b'makon echad oisa yavashah. Hashem did this a very great kindness. Hashem collected water into one location and provided dry land. Ki lule ze lo hoisa b'riyashav elo hadogim. If not for this, the only living creatures in this world will be fish. Uchamroi kaneid. What does it mean? Shua tel viharema. Kmo nitzv kmo neid noslim. Vayamdu neid. Lahoros ki amayim gevayim al aretz. Exactly what we said until now. This concept, which is beyond science, it defies science, and that is that the world that water, water is a mound. Water has been commanded to stand erect. The place where the water was collected has no depth. It's a ball, even though the earth is round. Now this is very, look at the Radak. The Radak, when did the Radak live? When did they discover the world is round? Okay, the Radak over here, Rav David Kimchi, what did he live in the 13th, 14th century? When did scientists?
The Gerald.
What year was that? Much later, right? It was much later. He writes here clear as day that the earth was kadudis, it's a ball, and therefore the water should flow downwards. Umasha Omar Yurde Hayom, who kineged hasofo sha'aretz gavoram al sifas hayom. When it says the Yurde Hayom, that refers to the edge of the earth, haaretz sha'gavoram al sifas hayom, v'zeh min nifloes habore, if he explains, Shamayim givoyim v'yovo gali hayam al al hamakom shu hasofo v'lo yavri Hamokok Moshama Haisil Loy Siro, who the Mashiach Imigonai Lo Sahilu, Asher Santi Chol Gvul, you see this now Torah, Asher Santi Chol Gvul, Ayam Chokolon Volo Yavi Renum, with his Goshu Volo Yuchlu, they war, but Volo Yucholu, they cannot destroy the world. Vahamu Galov, the waves war, Volo Yav Runu. Lefichach Amar, Noisein be'oitzaros, Timos kiluchim be'oitzaros, Shelo yichlu lotzeis misham, Yine ve'elu, Hapsukim zochach arvod yisodos, Kimila shamayim ramas yisodos, Eish, Uvruch piv, Wind, ramas for avir, There is fire, there is air, Ve'oretz remuze b'shnei psukim zochach, Befeir shalmalo, Shamachesa shalmalo ha'oretz, And where is the fourth? Mayim, Mayim is the fourth. What are the four principles? Fire, air,
earth,
and wind? Water, isn't water one of the... Maybe I made a mistake. This pasuk mentions the four yisoides, one more time. Therefore it says over here, Ramaz, yisoid, v'nei be'elu shnei psukim zohar arba yisoides, ki b'mila shamayim, Ramaz yisoid ha'esh, shamesh, shamayim is... With Shamayim, Shamayim is Eishma. Shamayim, Shamayim. Why did he say this Eish? I'm not sure what he means. I don't know what he means. But the point in the beginning over here is exactly. Let's just put that section aside. What we learned over here is the first part is exactly. The principle that we've said before is there is something that is beyond our understanding. The psukim in Tehillim here make it very clear that Mayim has been collected into a mound. And although there is a principle, Hoy Kol Tzomei L'chu L'Mayim, Mayim descends to the lowest plane due to the laws of gravity and the fact that Mayim has that ability to move, Yet there's a contradiction. Mayim, in Chazal's understanding, and as David here says it explicitly, is elevated above the earth. The oceans are considered in the world of Chazal to be mounds of water,
yeah. Right.
Not in caverns.
Earth, fire, water.
Water. Okay.
Yeah.
So, air, earth. Fire, water. So these psukim, we have all four yisoides. We have Shamayim. Shamayim, he says, is Eish. Why is Shamayim Eish? I remember. Eish, Shamayim. Eish, Mayim. Shamayim. I guess it means is that the shin is Eish. Is the main syllable of the word Eish. Eish, that's the shin, and then it's Mayim. Mayim. So therefore you have Eish. In the word Shamayim there is Eish.
And then it's Shamayim.
That's another pshat. It's another pshat. Shamayim. But he's saying that the word Shem also alludes to the synthesis of Esh and Mayim, borrowed, Esh and Mayim, because the Shin of Shemayim is shortened for Esh, Esh. Okay, the Shemayim is Esh, then there is water in this pasuk, then the name, the Meh Hayam, it says there is Avir. The Avir, he says, what was the word Avir? Avir is the Aretz of the Mishnah of the Shemayim Ramad Yisrael Esh, Uvruach Piv. Ruach Piv is the Avir. Okay, that's it. Yeah. Well, that's not the main point. But the main Yisrael you take out and we lose something today is this Chiddush. This is a very, very big Chiddush. Something which, if not for dwelling upon the Radak and the Mitzvahs and reading the Pope's Sukkot inside, I don't think most people would. I don't
Did
think
that mean someone that Shlomo did something to trap the water underneath?
No, they praised it. That was Chizkiyahu when they were under siege.
No, they were digging somewhere and the water came up.
That was David. David, when he wanted to build the Beis Hamikdash, he built the foundation of the world. He opened up the Shisin. The Shisin was a fountain, a source where this world started, and it was going to flood the world. And he had to go write Hashem's name on a peg, on something to seal. Do you remember many years ago when Obama became president, was right in his first term,
yes,
as well in the Gulf of Mexico? They were digging for oil, and they opened up some type of and it polluted the Gulf of Mexico, and they were going crazy. What to do? How to plug the hole? And the fishing industry was severely impacted. Severely impacted because of the pollution of the man destroys this world. I show you a beautiful world.
I thought you were going to say promising to make the seas stop rising.
To make the seas,
he would stop the seas from rising.
Who would stop the seas from rising?
Obama,
he could.
So, but if David Melch was able to stop the water, maybe the water floodwaters were contained underneath the ground.
I don't know. These are all very mystical things. I don't know. I don't know how all this works. But there was a fountain in that area, but when he built the Beis Hamikdash, and it was a very big problem. It was going to cause enormous damage. And God had to go do things supernaturally in order to prevent it from flooding the world by writing Hashem's name on a piece of pottery and throwing it down there in order to seal the plug. Somehow, whatever that will be, very supernatural, mystical things. But this is an incredible insight. This concept is that according to the laws of science, we would assume that the waters are in a cavity. Being that there's something called gravity and water moves, the water should indeed flood the world. And yet Chazal say that, oh, it's not so. Waters are collected in this world in mounds and mountains. Neid is a mountain, is a pillar. And even though according to the laws of nature, it should flood the world, it's only Hashem gave a command, I do not want you to pass your boundary. And how we reconcile that with science is a very big mystery. And he writes over here, the Radak is in the Mefloys HaBoire, that the waters of the world do not flood the world. Okay, let's see the Malbim on this pasuk. This interesting pasuk. Koine is kind of on page 287. 287 of the Malbim. Koine is kind of yom. Sha'aretz lo nishada al ha'emuna shu achot ha'kvosh nas ha'idei b'riyah ha'rishayna. The Aretz does not remain, the earth is not the way it was originally. It's saying a very deep idea. The earth, the way we live today in this world, is not the original way the world existed at the time of creation. There was a fundamental change. He explains. Ki chesed Hashem mola Aretz. What do we mean? That when Hashem made this world, according to the laws of science and nature that were built into this world, the water should flood the whole earth. And indeed, that's how it was. The whole world was one globe of water, one massive swimming pool. The whole earth, like what the Radak said, the only creatures that could have survived were the fish. And that's the way Hashem made the world. And then Hashem broke the rules of nature to to collect the waters into the Yam. Shayam lu sham kaneid. Hashem did not destroy the earth. Hashem just collected them and made a mound. V'lo yishuvun l'chasoy, that should not return to go and flood the earth. V'nosan to haymois bo'itzoroyz. What does that mean? Shayu hamayim atzulim b'et haymois uvayamim. Kidei shetelo'e hayabasha. He learns, as the Radak learned, it's a continuation. The second part of the pasuk is a continuation of the first part, that the oitzoroyz, the haymois, are the mehayam. The Tehoimois are not a separate entity. According to the Mitzvah David, according to Rashi, Rashi appears to learn, there's a machlokes here. Rashi appears to learn that there's something called Bnei Hayom, and there is something called Tehoimois. They're completely two separate entities. The Bnei Hayom is the water that you can see visibly, that is not covered, and the Tehoimois are bodies of water that are covered by the earth. According to the Radak and according to the Malbim, they are one and the same. The Tehoimois and the Bnei Hayom are exactly the same thing, and this poetic repetition, and it's describing the reason why the koyach, the way Hashem went about this activity to prevent the mehayam from flooding the world is by utilizing an oitzer. Hashem used an oitzer and used this oitzer, this collection tub, in order to prevent it from covering the world. Let's see where we fulfill it here.
During the mabul, the whole earth was flood.
Right, so it went back to its original state. That's a very important point. Hashem, as we're saying, Rav Kalman is saying something very, very important. When I come to Sparrow, brought the marble, Hashem did not do an act of destruction. Hashem just restored the world to the way it was originally. Hashem put safeguards. They made a world. The world is a globe. Is a globe of water. And then Hashem did chesed. Chesed Hashem Molaris. Hashem suspended and made a dam. Hashem made a dam. What's the dam? The dam of the Oitzaris. Made a dam to prevent the world from flooding. The man sinned. Okay, you want to sin? You know what? I'm not going to destroy you. I'm just going to bring the world back to its original state. I'm going to withdraw my chesed. And when Hashem withdraws the chesed, in the Mela, there's no hope for you people. So hold it, we're looking at the Mabel. When Hashem says, and Hashem says, I'm going to destroy them, although the term destroy would seem to indicate an act of destruction, you have to nuance it according to what it's saying. Hashem just allowed the world to exist the way it was originally intended without the chesed. I'm going to withdraw my chesed. Without my chesed, you don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance. You don't get from the government a stipend, you're not going to survive a day. The stipend is a chesed. You don't have anything on your own.
How about this describes the heat coming up to the bottom and the rain coming down from the top?
I don't know how that fits into the equation. I don't know the water cycle. Before you came, we spoke
earth,
about that.
The whole earth was perfectly flat, all even, and there was water on top. Let's say it would be 100 feet of water on top. Everywhere in the whole world. But then if you make valleys for the ocean and mountains on top.
So we said that's exactly what we spent the beginning of the Shir. Hashem, that's what we would expect. We would expect that when Hashem made the world, it was flat. It was round, but there were no big mountains. It was relatively
flat with water on top.
Flat. A globe that's relatively one level. And then there's water on top of it. Hashem said, oh, we have to allow dry land to appear. So what would you do as a scientist? You would go and you would construct massive, massive craters in the earth, and the mela, the water would flow into those craters. So, oh, the mela, the dry land appears. Right? That's the extent. And yet, we went through this whole, all of the forest, and it says, yeah, that's right. That's what you'd expect. That's not what it says in the Torah. The Torah says, Hashem didn't damage the earth. Just because Hashem wants that the water should go away doesn't mean Hashem has to damage someone else. In this world, kishazeh kam zenoifa. Okay, if you're rich, every time you win, like someone, I don't remember how it was. Yes, someone in the stock market. But I don't know.
Whoever makes money, somebody lost money.
Is that really true? So that's what I told. That's what I said to someone.
Some zero.
Yeah. So I said to someone. So he said, no, you don't understand how it works. It's not true. If you, obviously the whole world operates on this principle, but isn't it not fair? Isn't it unethical that when you make parnasa, when you do well in the stock market, someone else is suffering? The only way you can succeed and make money, if all of a sudden you get a stock tip, all of a sudden the stock goes up, or you're smart enough to realize what's going on in the world and you buy stocks, and it goes all the way up. So doesn't that mean that someone else lost money?
Why?
So I thought that's how it is. So the seller says, I don't know anything about it. He says, no, it's not true.
Of course not.
It's not true. So you have to, it's not true generally, but there are.
Because the pie gets bigger.
It's not so simple how all this works. It's very, very complicated. You need a real top of the line economist to explain. There are different scenarios. There are different scenarios. But there's no question, there are situations in this world where the only way one person can succeed is if someone else fails. The only reason why I got a job of my dreams, is because this person retired. Why did he retire? For no good reason. It depends. It depends,
for
right?
For great reasons.
For great reasons. Okay.
Talking to a room full of retirees here.
For great reasons.
I didn't mean it like that. That's great reasons. I'm talking about a person that left in disgrace. A person was fired. A person, something happened. So I'm getting my position because of the disgrace of someone else. Someone, a young guy, 25-year-old guy, was built up a company, and then he killed himself for 10 years. From the time he was 15 years old, he had an obsession with a certain, and he became a multimillionaire when he was 25 years old. And then something terrible happened to him. And now the company needs a new CEO. And you happen to be in the right place at the right time. And look at this, you're now making six figures. Yeah, you're only making six figures because it's not a good example, I told you. It's not a good example either.
Most of the time it's because companies expand that they hire.
Right. So it's not, we have to construct it, but everyone will agree with me is that there are situations in this world that the only way a person succeeds is at the expense of someone else's disgrace. So, over here, the dry land, we are now coming to elevate the dry land. The Seiro'eh Hayabasha. We want to give cover to the dry land. So how are you going to give cover to the dry land? You got to get rid of the water. Right? You got to get rid of the water. How are you going to get rid of the water? How are you going to get rid of the water? Well, you know, there's other land in this world. If you want to elevate this piece of land, there's another piece of land in this world that has to be destroyed.
Lowered.
Not lowered, you're making fine, but you're lowered. That is then destruction to a degree. You have to make a crater. You have to make a crater. So the only way this piece of dry land is going to appear, this piece of land, is because then you have another piece of land and make a crater.
But they were all underwater to begin with, so it's...
They're under, but not, but at least the depth, they're underwater, but it's shallow water. There's a certain point where, you know, you can go down and you can touch it. That's a chashivas to some degree. The way the world generally works in many scenarios is in order for one thing to be elevated, it comes with the expense of something else being degraded. It happens sometimes. Look at the two heavenly bodies. We discussed this. The Shnei HaMa'ois HaGidoylem. So the Levana says to Hashem, Ein Shnei Melachim V'Shamshim V'Keser Echad. Hashem says, you're right. You diminish yourself. So now the sun is the Ma'or HaGadol, and the Levon is the Ma'or HaKoton. Why is the Shemesh the Or HaGadol only at the expense of the Levana being the Ma'or HaKoton? That's tragic. The tragic reality in this world is that often the only way things are elevated is at the expense of something else. So when it comes to dry land, there's a need for there to be dry land. What? How is this going to happen? Well, there's going to be, that's the way the world goes. There's going to be another piece of dry land that's going to have to be obliterated in order for the water to collect in that area so that now it will be runoff and now there's dry land. Yet, it says in the Torah that's not what Hashem did. Hashem says, everyone, dry land, you stay the way it is. No one go nowhere. What we're going to do is, we're going to collect the water into a mound. We're not going to harm another piece of dry land. We're just going to make a mound. A mound? But that defies the laws of nature. So how do you answer that question? No one over here wants to say. The only thing we have is the Malbums, the Radak says, the Malbum says, the Radak, Nifloy Sabayre. The Nifloy Sabayre. It actually defies the laws of nature.
That's why it says, Kones Kam Neid. Because Neid and Yam Suf was also the same way. The water stood
it defies the laws of nature.
So
you're saying something very powerful. He's saying over here is every miracle, this is another principle. Every miracle is not really a miracle.
A miracle needs
a Mesoira. Every miracle is built upon a pre Ein Chodosh Tachas Hashemesh. Even miracles. Hashem doesn't make new. Every miracle that happens is a me'ain of a previous miracle. Hashem made a miracle in Maisa Bereishis, or at some point in time in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that miracle, whatever miracle, is already in Chodesh Tachas Hashemesh. When Hashem made the world, Hashem made a miracle that water has the koyach to stand like a mound against the laws of nature. That's the whole world today, according to what it says. You know, it's interesting, you go to the beach, go to Far Rockaway. I'm always amazed, I don't go to Far Rockaway too, but you go to Far Rockaway, and you go, all in the middle of Far Rockaway, not at the beach, you go, and you look, and you mamash can see, look at the ocean, and you mamash see, it looks like it's higher.
The curve of the earth.
A couple of miles, the curve of the earth? Only a few miles? Already you can see the curvature of the earth. In a few miles?
You have to see the ocean all the way to the end of it was flat.
The horizon.
I don't know what it is. If you're telling me it's a curve, you can see the curvature of the earth in such a small distance? It's hard to believe. But I've always been struggling from this. And the first thing I say to myself, I don't want to live here. if there's a storm, whoo! It's like the ocean will just come and completely wipe this place out. It's scary. Okay, Hurricane Sandy. That's not Hurricane Sandy.
Just stick around a little bit and you'll see it high tide.
High tide, exactly. But you look, you go all the way into the heart of Far Rockaway, and you from a good vantage point, and you look at the ocean, and you mamish, you get this feeling. The ocean is mamish ornate. How is it that the ocean, it looks higher? How come it doesn't just come and... It's from the Nefloy Saboy, right? There's some forces. I have no doubt you'll go to the scientists, they'll explain to you how this works scientifically. They'll have a whole chachma how this works. Good for them. Fine. They figured it out how it works scientifically. But the bottom line is, this is the Nefloy Saboy, right? Of Hashem did not damage the earth, even though we look, what do you mean? Go into the ocean. It goes all the way down. You can't even get down there. It's impossible even to go down too far because they don't have things that can go down so far because of the air pressure. But this is built in to Maisa Bereishis, according to the Malbim, the way the world was created, there's laws of nature, and the laws of nature do not allow the earth to remain dry. There's supposed to be a globe of water. And Hashem broke the rules. He broke the choik of Maisa Bereishis to tell the Mayim, stand, rise up, and just stay put over there. That's a miracle. Now, when it comes to Kriyas Yam Suf,
if you think about it, if the world is round, theoretically the water should fall off. But no, it's standing like an egg. Because they're also round.
The gravity.
Where's it falling off to?
Round. The water should.
The water should be even. I don't know how this works. It's too complicated. But over here, the model here is saying is Hashem did not damage it. Did not make craters. Hashem gave a command. It should stand. This is a miracle. This is not part of the chayk of the Malbim. This is not part of the chayk of Maisa Bereishis. This is a deviation of science of Maisa Bereishis. Mimela, when it comes to Kriyas Yam Suf, as Ramchal said, Kofu, Nitzavu, Kaneid, Kimonaid, Nitzavu, Kimonaid, Kimonaid, Nose Limb. The water stood up. This is not a new miracle. It is not a new miracle. This is an old miracle. We already saw this movie before. This is an old miracle. Old stuff. It's an old trick. It's an old trick. That's exactly right. Ein chodosh tachas hashemesh. Even miracles. Every single miracle that you're going to find it already has the makor somewhere else. Go through all the miracles. Go through all the miracles. It's Shemesh Bagiva in Daim. Where do you find such a concept of Shemesh Bagiva in Daim? It has to do similarly with the Levana being diminished. Anytime you find miracles in the sun and the moon, it's in time, and time, that goes back to Maisa Bereshis, because there's another example. Hashem made, it says, Beferish and Maisa Bereshis, B'Shnei HaMa'oiroiz HaGedoilim. That was part of the world, the way the world was. And Hashem, we're going to do a miracle. We're going to break the rules, and we're gonna make some change. That was a miracle. Memela, that's where when you have Shemesh by giving doim, there's some relation to that. There's some deviation. What exactly it is? You ever go to construction? There's no such thing in construction where the final product is the way when it says it on the blueprints. It always changes. Radical changes, and the radical changes that end up happening due to new things that come up in the construction, you can see it. You can see it in the building. I know a house in this neighborhood. You walk by and you can see where brand new house, and you can see where windows were supposed to be, and they had a changed plan. So instead, they just put bricks into where the windows, brand new house. There were supposed to be windows, that whole beautiful. Artwork with how they laid the bricks, and then in the middle of the construction, they realized that this room is not really such a good idea to do the room like this. So they decided the last minute, change the plans, and they ended up. It was too late to change the bricks, so they just put bricks where the window was. And this is a brand new house, and you always see in the architecture, you can see there was a change of plans smack in the middle of the design, and it's too late to go back. So you just improvise. That's this world. This world, Hashem had a plan. And then after Hashem finished the world, Hashem said, we got to make some changes. There's some mistakes. The water is flooding the world. It's flooding. So you know what? We're going to break the rules. We're going to tell the water, we'll do a miracle, be a mound. Stand up and just stay like that for the rest of your existence. Shemesh. The Shemesh HaGedolim. Let's make a change. You diminish yourself, yeah?
In Manhattan, they dry out of the thing and they build buildings there. In the road.
Battery Park. Change in plans.
Yeah.
The world is a model mistake. The world is no different. The world, there was a choik, and then there are changes, and this creates for us a whole new perspective. When you look at the oceans, it's not like we think. You have to appreciate the Musar. And the Musar is when Hashem does something, he doesn't damage. It's not like what we do. We have to do something, so we're going to have to cause some damage somewhere else. Hashem doesn't damage. We need to improvise. So you know what? We'll just do a miracle and we'll have the world, the water, sitting in the mound. Let's just finish up over here a few more full lines. Vinosan, I'm reading over here in the Malbim. The Malbim over here, I'm reading the word Vinosan Tohimos Do Oitzeros. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down after Pasuk Zayin. Okay, in the beginning of the line, Tavos Be'otzeros, show you a man atzuvim b'tohimos, v'yamim, kidei she'teireh ha'yaboshim b'chevim, v'gam kivim b'masham b'noisim b'yotzeros, ha'yimos al-mashim b'spar shom shag, ashezgalus ha'yaboshim nas ikar ha'kachachona lezeh al-yidei ha'mayim shal yihi rakia b'sech ha'moyim. There should be rakia b'sech ha'moyim. Shagavel ha'chayk sh'yalu ha'mayim al-yidei ho'edim. So this is Mr. Elman you're referring to. Hashem, he goval hachlek. What is it, goval? He needed. Okay, he built into creation this law that there should be the water cycle. Sheyalu hamayim aydeh ha'edim to the clouds al alokia shumokma asag rear, the place that is, what sag rear mean? Hard, a crust. V'sham yetsa mehem ha'avir v'shayom arvim yisod ha'mayim. V'al yodam hufreshu min ha'yavosha ki nishadrov ha'meim ha'smuim b'malmoro shal melech ha'avir. So he's going even further. He's saying, this is incredible stuff. There are two types of suspensions of water. There's a vertical suspension of water, and there is a horizontal suspension of water. It's incredible stuff here.
The beaches?
No, horizontal. This we don't.
The clouds.
The clouds. Mayim is suspended miraculously in two planes, vertical and horizontal. The clouds is a horizontal suspension of water. Now he's saying he's going pshat the pasuk horizontal. Vertical is what we learned until now is the oceans. The oceans are innate. The oceans are standing and not flooding the world because they're standing vertical. Right? They're sitting vertical. And the clouds are suspended horizontally. He's learning a very big chiddush from Shana Pasek, where it says in the Pasek, Vayavdil lelukim bein amayim asher mitachas laretz, bein amayim asher me'al aretz. Most of us learn Shana in that Pasek is that in outer space. Most of us understand this in an hour. Keep on going there with your Hubble telescope somewhere all the way out there, you're going to find the Mayim Elyonim. The Mayim Tachtim are the oceans, and the Mayim Elyonim, keep on going. Maybe one day they'll find it with some new technology. That's how many Mepharshim learn.
It maybe sounds very logical. The world was all the water, and there were mountains and crevices and everything that we had. Then you take a lot of that water and put it up into the clouds. So now that, what was mountains?
Interesting, you're saying mountains. Very good. You're saying
and
that
the water came down
on the
earth.
There was too much water.
We had too much.
You gotta get rid of it. So what do you get rid of?
25% went up into the
clouds. Create a system where there are always clouds in the sky, and that fills with the moisture, and that reduces the weight. Too many tons on the earth, crushing the earth. So take some of that water and put it in the clouds. And that way, now that you remove so much water, dry land appears. Okay, and maybe you say that. But let's first understand and appreciate what he's saying. When most of us, when you learn the part that comes from the rule is Mayim, Ayavdil Lekim Ben Amayim Hashem, Itachas Lekim Ben Amayim Hashem, Al Lekim. How do you learn that in kindergarten? How do they teach you? Hashem, this water all the way up there. Keep on going. Get under this, go to the space station and keep on going. Keep on going. You're going to find the water up there. Right? That's, you think, no! There's no water up there. There's nothing up there. What is very posh. The clouds. The clouds. You go look. Go outside. Today it's going to rain. That's what it means. The atmosphere, the air, not the air, in between for the neck, however it is, 30,000 feet, 20,000 feet. Where are the clouds? The clouds are like 20,000 feet sometimes. It depends. So they're lower, some are lower, whatever. That is the Mayim Asher Me'al Lorokia. Hashem created, with that pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a reality that he is saying over here is not part of Ma'aseh Bereishis. In Ma'aseh Bereishis, there's no such thing as clouds. There's no such thing as evaporation. And water goes into the clouds. You water, wherever I put you, that's where you stay. Hashem put the water on the globe, and that's where it stays. Problem is, v'seira hayavasha. So how do you have v'seira hayavasha? Two different ways. Some of the water, we're gonna shift off to the ocean, and we're gonna command you, stand vertically. Don't flood the world. And then we took more water, and you go up to the Rakia, clouds, and you stay there horizontally. How are we gonna, who's gonna hold us there? Don't worry about that. Miracle. So there are two dimensions, two break, double deviation. What? It becomes sweet. That's a secondary thing. But the reality that it defies the laws of gravity, that rain, that was not part of the original plan. This is an addition, an upgrade, or a deviation of the original creation of this world. This world, it was a globe of land covered by water, and the water was subject to laws of gravity, and finished. Water covered the globe. The world was done. Okay, we got a problem. We need to improvise here. Changing plans. Now that the inspector, we've got our permit, the government's off our backs. Now, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Now we're going to change the whole layout of this building. We're going to break all the codes. And what are the first two break? We're going to break? Water is going to stand vertically. Water is going to stand horizontally. Defy the laws of nature. Okay, you'll tell me it's not the deviation of it. It's not a defiance. It's new nature, whatever you want to say. But it's not part of the original creation. Incredible. Man, what? How does man come in this? Man is so strange. Man is in a world to itself. All right, we're gonna start over here. Tomorrow we're gonna go further. Tomorrow we're gonna put in pasuk tes. There's a lot of stuff here, but we have to move on. Tomorrow pasuk tes. Ki hu ma
b'rei. But now you're saying the rikia is disguised.
Yeah, that's the Malbim says. Rikia
disguised. Yeah. That's like nothing.
Right. This is the Malbim. That's not me.
This
the Malbim.
This is the Shiva rikia.
We all think there are seven verses of Malbims and Malbim and Ma'amar Shav Tafnina. It means the clouds. That's all it means. Ayin panim l'tayim. Thank you very much.
Do it all the time. Take a pail of water. Look at him. Go like this and prepare quickly.